Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Save $200 when you put in code word HOWIE3. Sale is just for this week only and while supplies last. Order at EdenPure.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Wearing masks if you're under 12 and can't be vaccinated when you're in school is a really smart thing to do.
We know today that many of the face cloth coverings that people wear are not very effective in reducing any of the virus movement in or out.
What? You say one thing, he says another, and everybody changes back again.
Now we're seeing this backslide. We're seeing his advice adjusting, and it is confusing.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
The mayor, Muriel Bowser, just put in place a mask mandate. It started early on Saturday morning, and now she's responding to criticism because she was photographed on Saturday evening without a mask.
It's the thing, right? She wasn't actually, as far as we know, violating the new rules, correct?
It seems like it could be during the toast, right? Everyone's heads are pointed in a certain direction. It seems like maybe they are listening to someone.
I ran out of gas. I had a flat tire. I didn't have enough money for cab fare. My trucks didn't come back from the cleaners. An old friend came in from out of town. Someone stole my car. There was an earthquake.
For those lame excuses, you're absolutely uncivilized.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
So in case you didn't hear the news, Jen Psaki, the spokeswoman for Dementia Joe Biden, just announced that there are no plans to lock down anything. Can we have a round of applause for that?
Peter Ducey also asked her about illegal immigration and Barack Obama's birthday party today. So he's on a roll.
Both of which also involve COVID-19.
Yes.
More than somewhat.
Do you think the border has a COVID coordinator? Is that why no one seems to be concerned about it?
Jen, who is the COVID coordinator, Rio Grande Division? Yeah. Is there a COVID? Have you spoken to Honest Howie about getting a COVID coordinator down there in Hidalgo County, McAllen, Texas? La Jolla, all those places. No, they haven't spoken to me yet, but I'm standing by. Here's my cell phone. They have my number. They know where to get me. We'll have someone down there immediately, and it'll be at a reasonable price. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Anyway, I think this proves that Abraham Lincoln once again was correct when he said, "You can't fool all of the people all of the time." And they poll this thing. They poll everything. All the politicians do. And this thing is going over like the proverbial lead balloon. Nobody wants to shut down again. It's ridiculous. I'm going to read you a few statistics here before we're going to talk a lot about this this hour. 844-500-4242. This is from the American Thinker. There's only one problem with all the fear-mongering and widespread panic. Few are dying. I mean, isn't that the bottom line? In the entire United States, on July 31st, that was Saturday, I guess, 295 people died, despite the fact that 62,735 new cases were reported. Now, what did they lead with? Did they lead with the deaths, or did they lead with, which is what all you care about, or did they lead with the cases, which don't mean anything? Deaths from COVID have been declining steadily since January 16th, when 3,200 people died. The deaths have gone from 2,022 on March 1st, 961 on April 1st, 700 on May 2nd, 571 on June 1st, to 295. On July 31st. But the death rate declines don't cause panic. That's why they're often left out of the charts when the fear mongering starts. So I want to give you an example. This is the craziest story. I tweeted this out. It's a story from Bloomberg News Service about Provincetown, where this supposedly this giant outburst occurred. 900 people. They wanted to shut down the whole country because 900 people were quote unquote tested positive. And I was telling Grace on the way over, when I was at the Deerfield, my freshman year, they got some kind of food. There was some kind of terrible food poisoning, and everybody in the school got sick on a Saturday night. It was like 500 people. I don't recall half the country being shut down. I don't think it made the Greenfield Recorder Gazette on Monday.
This is the nice small talk we have on the way to Cape Gun. I was like, when I was at Deerfield, we all got a bad batch of something, and we were sick. I'm like, oh, lovely.
But I'm just saying, what is the difference? Wait till I read you this story about this terrible thing. And here's the headline. In Provincetown, COVID-19 hits 14 friends in a show of Delta variants. Might! As in, might makes right. Make it sound like a Panzer division. You know, rolled in from Wellfleet. Wiped out the town. This guy, he's a lawyer, and he and his friends went to Provincetown to dine, hit the beach, and party, secure in the knowledge they were all fully vaccinated. 14 left as potential vectors. Not in coffins. They left as potential vectors. I don't even know what the hell a vector is. I'm not too sure what a rector is, but I definitely don't know what a vector is. They tested positive for COVID-19 after a Independence Day getaway. None badly ill. You'd think at that point they would say, why am I writing this story?
I know.
But all shocked at how the virus had ambushed them. Well, how much had it ambushed them if they weren't sick? Barefoot, a 33-year-old Washington lawyer, developed mild symptoms during the trip. I'm not making this up. This is right in the story. As soon as I got home, I went to taste a piece of candy, and I had no taste. Shut it down! How many more must have no taste? The Provincetown cluster includes more than 900 cases. No one has died, and only 7 people have been hospitalized. Because vaccines remain effective at restraining the virus's rampage in the body. But the cluster's rapid growth is provoking concern about Delta's talent. Talent? It's a virus. Talent for turning even vaccinated people into spreaders. But wait, it wasn't only Danny Barefoot. Howard Bragman, a Los Angeles crisis public relations practitioner.
These Is that sound your like, pen name?
I was going to say, these sound like pseudonyms.
No, that is not my nickname, Howard Bragman. He arrived July 14th and he flew home on July 19th. Okay, that Wednesday, he was exhausted with a slight fever and soon lost his sense of taste and smell. Can you take more? Can you take more, Taylor? Can you take more of this horror?
I'm not sure how much more, but a little bit more.
Nathaniel Teichman, 34, a New York City startup manager who has spent much of the pandemic on Cape Cod. He and his friends went to a party. 5 soon tested positive for COVID. All recovered quickly.
Howie, these articles are pushing panic porn so hard that the Biden administration person, I'm blanking on his name right now, but he even came out on Twitter.
Wahana, I think his name is. He's got a strange name.
He even came out and said, you're not giving enough information. Like, you're really burying the lead here. And there isn't even a lead. It should not be a story.
Well, I think they're just counting on no one reading the actual stories.
Luckily,
they're just looking at the headline.
Luckily, there is one person who will read them, you.
Yeah. There's one more tragedy I have to tell you about. Tim Wilson, another Washington lawyer, went to Provincetown. When he returned home on July 11th, he felt as though he had a cold. Well, I don't know how much more evidence you need. We have to shut down the country. There it is. That's what it was all about. All right. We'll take some calls when we come back. 844-500-4242. I've got a lot more stories. I feel like this is what it would have been like if they had radio in the 14th century, and I had a talk show covering the Black Death. You know, this is what it's like. Mild symptoms, cold-like, loss of sense of smell. The frenzied real estate market is causing bidding wars across certain segments. Real estate brokers are holding calls for highest and best offers because demand is so high. How do you as a seller know if you have realized all of the money for your property and if you sold under the best terms? You wouldn't hire a refrigerator repairman to fix your valuable car. So, when selling real estate, let the bidding war experts for over 45 years sell your property quickly, contingency-free, and for true market value. Recent real estate auctions for Howie Carr Show listeners have attracted as many as 30 qualified cash-ready buyers battling for their properties. At the end of your auction, you will know that no money was left on the table. Remember, when you sell your real estate in the usual way with a broker, you pay the commission. But in a J.J. Manning auction, the buyer pays. That saves you, the seller, thousands of dollars right there. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more on how to get your property sold quickly and contingency-free, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Call Charlie today at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com and get your property sold. I'm Howie Carr.
Fighting the fake news, one former Democrat stenographer with a press pass at a time. It's Howie Carr.
He regret it to his dying day. If ever he lives that long.
Howie Carr is back.
HelloFresh offers 50 easy-to-prepare menu and market items every week, plus everything you need to get grilling this summer and calorie-smart recipes so you don't sacrifice flavor for nutrition. Get up to 14 free meals, including free shipping when you use code Howie14 at HelloFresh.com/Howie14. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
The national eviction ban ended Sunday. Are you saddened or gladdened?
I am more than gladdened.
97% say they're gladdened.
The fact that AOC had to have a demonstration on the Capitol steps to protest made me even happier than I would have been otherwise. 844-500-4242. You know, one reason that I like being down in Florida for 6 months and one day per year is that we have a governor named Ron DeSantis, and he just said that you can't have vaccine mask mandates and all this kind of stuff. So there's a headline right now, the lead story in the Palm Beach Post, the local newspaper. PBC, Palm Beach County Public Schools, can't require students to wear masks, school board chair says. So you don't even have to deal with this union BS. You know, it's just a state edict. You cannot have it. I mean, so the unions can bitch and moan all they like. And the state rules, regulations in Florida are you can't force the kids to wear masks. And I just think this is the most destructive part of the whole thing. You know, this whole panic that's been going on for all this time. I hope it's winding down, though, now. I hope the fever has broke, the Delta fever has broken. I know Lambda is, it's like this spring, this training camp for the NFL. There's training right now. Lambda variant is in training camp, you know, it's getting ready to make its move. But I think every one of these variants usually becomes less potent as time goes on. Mr. Garcia, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mr. Garcia.
Listen, Howie Carr, I wanted to say thank you. I never say too much thank you. I learned about you to be a real man as a Republican Party, because I was Democrat. I was so confused. But I want to ask you a question. The double boost, you say you want to do a double vaccine. You want to inject another by maybe November. Right. You want to, you think you're going to get one or no? Or how? If yes, explain to us why you want to get one.
Well, that's a good question. You know, I don't go so much by what the CDC says. I go by what the FAA says, the Federal Aviation Administration. If I can get on a plane without getting a booster shot, I'm not getting a booster shot. That's the way I, that's my decision, Mr. Garcia. What's your decision?
I say no. I already got one, the vaccine. I feel very sick. I was sick for a week. But thank God I'm okay. But the problem I'm having, thank God I listen to conservative radio, because I was so confused, and thank God you teach me how to be a real Republican, a real Republican. I was a wimp Democrat, but thank God I find your network, and I love you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Garcia.
We love you, Mr. Garcia. You're the best. Everyone here is smiling listening to you.
Yeah,
everybody
loves you, Mr. Garcia. Come on up. Get up, and you could have some – too bad you're not here today. You could have some gingerbread with the rest of us from Ginger Betty's. Thanks for calling in, Mr. Garcia. Rich, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Rich.
How you doing?
Good.
I got a question. If this Delta variant does that leave antibodies that then make people protected against the COVID virus? And if it's
I think it does. I think every time you have a virus, you develop antibodies to it. But again, they just keep shifting the rules around, you know, that, you know, sometimes it's supposed to protect you. Now, as Mr. Garcia says, some people are saying you're going to need a booster. And some people and Fauci said yesterday, just crazy stuff about how I'm just looking at it here. Where is the breakthrough infections? And he was talking about how, you know, if you're vaccinated and you're not wearing a mask, you're violating the rights of people who are unvaccinated. Well, I mean, at some point, doesn't personal responsibility have to kick in here? You know, you make your own decision and you live with your own decision. And at 207 says, is it fair to call the variant coming over across the Rio Grande via illegal aliens the Biden-Harris variant?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know I've heard people call the Delta variant the midterm variant, but I think it's a little early for the midterm variant. There's probably that's down the road. That's probably more like the Gamma variant, or maybe even the Omega variant. Thanks for the call there, Rich. I wish I knew a better, more complete answer for you. But I don't think anybody really knows what's happening. All we know is that it's not going to go away. There's no such thing as COVID eradication. You don't eradicate a virus. They die out. You know, I think I read the Spanish flu, which killed, you know, tens of millions of people back in 1918, 1919. That lasted until 1950. This thing is not going away. You know, when I hear people talking about COVID eradication, I think I said this Friday, I these union bosses, especially COVID eradication, like the teachers unions, like Randy Weingart, she's really talking about work eradication, you know? And how can you eradicate work? Somebody's got to work, right? Jeff, you're next. Up, we'll come back. We'll have more calls. We come back. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
So Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, says he's tested positive for COVID-19. Here's his tweet or his face, whatever he put it on social media. I feel like I have a sinus infection, and at present time I have mild symptoms. There's that recurring word, mild. I will be quarantining for 10 days. I am very glad I was vaccinated because without vaccination, I am certain I would not feel as well as I do now. My symptoms would be far worse. Most likely he wouldn't be dead, though. He just might have a less mild case of whatever he has. So that's the latest. And supposedly he was out on a boat with 10 other senators, Joe Manchin's boat. So are they all going to be quarantining? I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, 844-500-4242. Are you ready to go, Grace? Or are you?
I'm ready to go. Are you ready for hate mail? Because these are kind of vicious.
That's
it's
good.
Time for Howie Carr's Hate Mail Monday. Let the hate flow through you.
I think, Grace, a lot of these people are angry because they were looking forward to a lockdown. You know, they were looking forward to, you know, the return of the one-way aisles in the supermarkets.
The return of the masks.
The cult of the mask was going to be in ascendant again. Wait, once again, to use that word, it was going to be, they were going to show off their might.
Yeah, and I don't want to downplay that there was probably some disappointment in there not being a shutdown, but I also don't want you to underestimate how much you drive people crazy just on your own. Pandemic aside, I think you can really get people going.
But I'm such a lovable guy.
To some. It's up for debate. Okay, so without further ado, it is time for Hate Mail Monday. It is brought to you by Pantadosi Baking Company, celebrating over 100 years of baking excellence since 1916. I had a delicious sub this weekend, a Pantadosi sub roll. Definitely check them out. They are the absolute best. Let's start off.
And this is the Hate Mail Monday is all the love notes, the fan mail that Grace and I and Taylor get throughout the course of the week. It comes in every form, message boards for the Herald under Grace and my column, emails, voicemails, everything, every way.
Yeah, I'm actually glad you brought that up because the first one I will read is from your Boston Herald column. It was about the Kennedys. Do you want to give a brief synopsis of what your latest column was about?
Yeah, I mentioned that last week the former cardinal of Washington, D.C., was indicted for assaulting a young boy at Wellesley College in Massachusetts, and he was the second clergyman who spoke at the Ted Kennedy funeral 12 years ago to be indicted for sexually assaulting a young boy. Before it was the Kennedy family priest in Centerville who delivered the homily at Mission Church in Roxbury. And he was indicted for repeatedly raping an altar boy when he was under the age of 14. And then the body after the funeral mass in Boston was shipped down to Arlington National Cemetery to be buried. And McCarrick, the guy who's now charged with rape in Wellesley, he delivered the graveside eulogy. So I said this, now we have two clergymen, two priests who were involved in the funeral. How appropriate. And then I mentioned how many of the wonderful people who showed up for the funeral, like Bill Clinton, Al Gore, Al Franken, Reverend Jesse Jackson Jr., unindicted co-conspirator Bob DeLeo, Jack Nicholson, really many, many moral exemplars, moral titans of our time.
So the first comment you received is, you made a paragraph-long news article into a rant about a Kennedy from 12 years ago. This and your fascination with old mobsters.
Yeah, no one else was going to do it, right? And by the way, there is going to be a new podcast about mobsters.
I know. Speaking of, I don't know how I got tossed in here. That's one thing I don't like. I get a lot of hate on my own column, so when I get thrown into yours, I'm very confused. This person said, Howie must be peddling his book on the Kennedys when he teams up with his faithful idiot companion, Gracie, at some no-name bar later this week.
Are we booked into the no-name bar again?
Faithful idiot. Faithful idiot companion.
We don't go to no-name bars. We go to swell bars, nice bars.
You know what? If I'm going to be an idiot companion, I want to be a faithful one. Loyalty matters.
That's right. And by the way, if you do want to buy the book, you can go to HowieCarrShow.com, click on store, and you can get both books, Kennedy Babylon Volumes 1 and 2 from 1995. You may have to go a little down into the stock to find them, but they're there.
Can I backtrack here for a second?
Of course.
Yes.
What did Jack Nicholson do?
He went to the funeral.
That makes him morally decrepit?
Well, he is kind of that
no,
way.
No, I think he was a player, but I've never heard that he's a bad person.
They used to, when Ted Kennedy was running for president, Ted used to stop off at his mansion in Bel Air or Beverly Hills, wherever it was, for some naked hot tub pool action with Jack Nicholson.
I don't like you smearing Jack Nicholson's name. I've heard that he's a nice guy. I have. I heard that he was a player for sure, but he always treated women with respect.
You saying that he doesn't belong in the same category with all those other Democrat worthies like...
Yeah, I don't consider Jack Nicholson and Bill Clinton the same.
Oh, by the way, Joe Biden was there too. Tara Reid could not be reached for comment.
Now, you can throw Joe Biden in. I have no problem with that.
But he was at the funeral.
All right, now let's go to cut two. Howie's a great speaker. He does 4 hours of radio a day most of the time, and yet he still gets grief from the listeners when his English is not perfect. This is cut two.
Howie, looks like you haven't been working on the stuttering problem of yours.
I didn't come here to be made sport of, pal.
Also, Howie, you have been taking Fridays at 6 o'clock. You tend to leave an hour early. You get a lot of hate for this. I just want to say that it makes my life easier because I'm usually driving him, and I like to leave a little early too. But people get very upset, and we call that a slide in this business. And this is cut three.
Howie takes more slides than Ricky Anderson.
I've run across that same sentiment on the text line repeatedly.
And also, that's not the only hate mail about slides. This is cut six.
Howie, I noticed you have a new segment after Police Blotter Facts Friday. It's called Howie Carr Takes a Slide Friday. Why do they call you the captain when you have the schedule of a judge, you hack?
When the hell was the last time anybody saw a judge in court on a Friday?
Yeah.
Or a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday if you live in Massachusetts.
By the way, when you do take a slide, you hand the mic over to Taylor Cormier. And Taylor got a little hate this week. Cut five.
Next time you decide to go on a little vacation, how about getting a better babysitter? New Bedford boy just doesn't cut it.
Ouch.
1 hour is a vacation? What do I care about New Bedford boy?
What about
the insult to me? An hour is a vacation. Wow.
I hope you enjoyed it.
I'll have memories. I'll post some pictures from my vacation later on in the week.
Howie, you talk a lot about food. You love food, whether it's bacon or cheeseburgers or chocolate ice cream
or
chocolate
sausage.
Donuts or sausage, whatever it is, you like to talk about food. There's no doubt. Some people find it a little off-putting. This is cut one.
Hey, Carr, after listening to you talk about green cheese, catfish, everything else that can stink, you talk about disgusting. I gotta turn up the commercial I was throwing up. Green cheese, bass, striped bass, yeah, rotten fish. Wow.
What the hell kind of guy lives in New England and hates fish? I bet he doesn't even like fried clams or oysters or scallops. or halibut?
Now, this is a comment I got on my column, which I get a lot. Someone wrote, "Hey, lady, you forgot your sidekicks, Larry and Mo." Not the best. You know, we could get a little more creative here.
No, that, you know, that seems to be a popular motif this week, Grace, because, you know, there's a guy in Free Republic who posts you just so people can talk about your show every day.
Oh, geez, I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
And so today somebody said, I love just hearing the mention of Grace's show. It reminds me of one of my favorites. And guess whose picture was underneath that?
One of the Three Stooges?
Well, guess which one?
Curly.
Yes.
Oh, great. Now there's a whole blog I can go through tonight, cry myself to sleep.
It's better than being named Grace Shemp.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm proud of my last name. It's a solid Irish last name, Curly.
But Curly was the star. He was the man.
I wouldn't go that far.
He was. Mm. Everybody here agrees.
By the way, Howie, we posted your interview with Trump, and a person wrote beneath it, "Fake applause." Because we had a live audience that day, so people were applauding the president.
And it was a rainy day, so we had even more people. We have a good audience today, but we had more people last week because it was wet, you know, and they were just looking to come in out of the rain.
But some people think that the applause was planted and it was fake. Well, that's a conspiracy theory. That's a fringe, debunked conspiracy theory.
That's fake news.
We have a live studio audience.
On Mondays. And actually, we do Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday most days with the VIPs.
It's like the Johnny Carson show. We never stop. Let's play cut four. This is the last hate mail of the day.
Hey, Carr, I know you've made a living out of spouting your pie hole of opinions you have nothing, no information about. You don't know a damn thing of what you're talking about, yet you've got opinions galore about it. You know what? Look up science. Figure it out. You must have slept through it. You fucking disinformationalist fucks are ruining this nation. Your ignorance is ruining this nation. Thank you so much for that, you piece of
He seems nice. He seems, wow. No, he seems very tolerant.
This is another indication that this is a cult, isn't it? I mean, again, he wants to burn me at the stake.
Yeah.
He wants to do to me what they did to the witches in Salem, which was hang or burn me like they did to Joan of Arc. I mean, I thought science was about calmly debating the issues and the data.
The Karen Kool-Aid gets people feisty, gets people angry.
I think he may have spiked the Karen Kool-Aid too a little bit, the way he was going after me. All right. Thank you, Grace.
Thanks, Howard.
Eden Pure has done it again. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack is back. One user writes, "Very surprised at how well the small units work. Noticed the difference almost immediately. I purchased the 3-Pack and I'm happy I did." And now you can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. You'll get 3 units for under $200 and save $200. One for your basement, first floor, and second floor, all in one purchase.
This can take care of all kinds of odors, Howie, including, you know, just off the top of my head, green cheese, fish, many more.
Catfish, striped bass, all those kinds of fish, exactly. And dog odors, too, and cat odors, everything. With the 3-Pack, you can now enjoy clean air everywhere in your house or workplace. It's been months now that we've been talking about the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. People still ask me if it really works. Not only does it really work, it works in hours. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier is so small and light that you can hold it in your hand and plug it right into the wall. The best part is you don't have to replace any air filters, which of course saves you time and money. Other air purifiers can cost up to $600 for just one unit. Go to EdenPureDeals.com, click my name, and put in code word Howie3 to save $200 for their special 3-pack. EdenPureDeals.com. Click my name and use code word Howie3. The 3-pack special ends this week. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Radio Network.
Leave the gun.
Take the cannoli.
The Howie Carr Show.
At the risk of driving that last caller who left a message during Hate Mail Monday crazy, I'm going to read some more numbers here, some more science, some more data. There was a big deal made on Friday when they were still pushing it, you know, trying to get everything shut down, that there was a massive 300% hike in nationwide COVID-19 deaths reported Friday, right? 300% hike in COVID deaths. It was reported U.S. deaths surged from 321 on Thursday to 891 on Friday. Do you want to know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say? Florida was responsible for a huge chunk of the increase, with 409 of Friday's death toll coming from that state. You know why? Friday only releases the death toll on Friday. Florida only releases on Friday. There were no deaths in Florida for the last 6 days, but they had 409 there. Figures released by Delaware, Little Delaware, also added to the surging daily increases. The state announced 130 new deaths on Friday. However, that dramatic figure was misleading because those deaths actually occurred between mid-May of 2020 and late last month. But it looked good in that headline, didn't it? COVID deaths surge and spike. Data from Michigan, which also only releases statistics biweekly, also reportedly added to the distorted total. The true day-to-day increase of nationwide COVID-19 deaths on Friday, instead of being 300%, it was 2.5%. Never mind. Martin Kulldorff, I believe we've had him on before. He's a professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School, and he's a biostatistician and an epidemiologist at Brigham and Women's in Boston. And he listed 12 principles of public health policy. This is so great. This is really one of the best things I've read during the entire panic. But everything is just the absolute opposite of what you hear on the network newscasts. Let me put it this way. It's the absolute opposite of what you're about to hear at the top of this hour on whatever radio station you're listening to. I hate to say it, but that's the reality of it. This is, again, Martin Kulldorff, a professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School. Public health is all about health outcomes, not just a single disease like COVID-19. Public health is about the long term rather than the short term. Public health is about everyone. It should not be used to shift the burden of disease from the affluent to the less affluent, or from the old to the young, for that matter. He didn't say that, but that's part of it. Risks and harms cannot be completely eliminated, but they can be reduced. Elimination and zero COVID strategies backfire, making things worse. Public health should focus on high-risk populations, again, other than, say, the children, who don't die from the disease, but they're the ones they want to get masked up. And this is the best one, Rule 8. A case is only a case if a person is sick. So in other words, most of the people who are being listed as having cases, they're not sick, so they're not real cases, are they? Mass testing asymptomatic individuals is harmful to public health. I'm Howie Carr.